Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host for the Daily Challenges. Today's Thursday, the day in our week when we try to put into practice what we've been learning all week. This week we've been learning about Jesus as a king. We haven't talked a lot about the application of this yet. We've talked a lot about the meaning of it, and I think it's an important meaning because it adds something really, really important to our understanding of Jesus that we've been trying to gather by looking at all these different characteristics over the last several weeks. The problem is that a good teacher you can take or leave. You can listen to his teaching and then you can walk away and decide what you're going to implement. If we're talking about Jesus as a healer, well, that sounds great if you're in desperate need or somebody you know is in need. But in good times, we can very quickly move on from that idea too. Talking about Jesus as light can seem very philosophical and detached from reality. Talking about Jesus as a priest can seem pretty remote from our perspective as 21st century Canadians, and even a first century Jew would go see the priests on occasion and then go back to their small town. All these images are really important. They're all going to add up to something really incredible, especially as we get to our final topic in this series. We see that one element of Jesus that makes all the difference. But it's good that we made this stop this week to explore Jesus as king. Because a king, you can't really take it or, you know, take something of his and walk away and consider it your own. A king, you have to live under his rule and authority if you're going to live in his realm. None of those characteristics that we've talked about so far has been quite as all-encompassing as having to give allegiance to a king. Even today, people who want to become Canadian citizens make an oath of allegiance to the Queen. Those who want to serve in the military do the same. They make certain promises to the Queen. There's a real tangible benefit, but also a real tangible cost to living in her realm. She provides us with good government, and through, certainly through history, royalty has provided us with all kinds of other things as well, even if that's not as tangible or obvious today. But even today, when it feels remote and distant, there are real tangible benefits to the system of government that we enjoy with the Queen as head of state. It can be difficult for us to really grasp this in 21st century Canada, but there's one Christian teacher, a former bishop from England called N.T. Wright, or Tom Wright, who wrote this little story that helped me understand a little bit anyway of what it would mean to live in the realm of a lord or a king, and how that applies to Jesus. Here's the story. My little farm sits on the river that borders between two great estates, and for years, the lord of the manor, in whose land I actually live, has had me completely under his thumb. In particular, whenever he's wanted to fight a war or even a local skirmish, he's called on me to join up and fight on his side, and has threatened me with all sorts of unpleasant things, like burning my house down if I don't come along. What's more, he's more than once made me get all my farm implements, nice peaceful things like hoes and spades, and take them to the blacksmith to make them into swords and shields. So off we go to fight his wars when I really ought to be looking after the farm. Well, eventually I saw the light and moved across the river to the other great estate. We built a new house, brought all our things, and settled down. Fortunately, my old landlord was away at the time, or he'd have tried to stop me. The noble lord who owns the land where I now live gave us a wonderful welcome, charges us a lot less rent than the other one. From time to time, my old boss has come down and threatened to send his henchmen across and do, yes, all kinds of unpleasant things to me once more, but I think he's secretly afraid of my new landlord. I get on with my work and look after my farm, and my new master gets me to help with his work, which is quite different from the battles my old boss used to drag me into. My new master is building schools and hospitals, especially for the really poor people. And sometimes he asks me to bring my tools and help in the work. If someone's in special need, a death in the family, a fire, sick animals, whatever, he asks me to help in this way or that. Sometimes, of course, it's an effort, but I'm glad to do it, especially for him. Well, that story makes a point about Christianity that can be hard for us to grasp today. Christianity is not just something to add to our lives, It's not just a way to find inner peace. It's not just a new religious activity to go to every week. No, Christian faith is meant to be like moving across the river. It's meant to be like leaving one master for another, deciding that all of your life is going to be devoted to the service of this one new master, and that yes, you'll receive benefits, but you'll also have to participate in building up his kingdom, in being an active participant in what he's building, and that there's a choice before you. One side of the river, there's a violent kingdom that's being built through violence, through anger, through hatred, through power and control. And on the other side of the river, there's a kingdom of peace, of love and compassion, of care for one's brothers and sisters, under a benevolent Lord and King, whose interests always seem to be in caring for his people. Christianity is not meant to be about adding something new to our already busy lives. It is about completely reorienting our lives to follow a new master, picking up, taking everything we've got, and offering it all to our new Lord, our new King. This is what the idea of Jesus as King adds to our understanding of him, that he is someone who wants the entirety of our lives devoted to his service, and that promises us that his service is good and benevolent and caring, that he will care for us and he will help us to care for others. That his kingdom is worth pursuing with our lives, that his kingdom is worth joining, his kingdom is worth us sacrificing everything we have. And that this isn't something he does selfishly, but through his selfless act of sacrifice, giving his own life for us, he's established his kingdom on those principles, a sacrifice of love. This is the King who invites us to cross the river and join his kingdom. Will you? So here's your challenge for today. What I want you to do is take a piece of paper, or if you're on an iPad or something, just find a note-taking program, draw a line down the middle, or just make two columns or two sections. On the one side, write down some characteristics of what you could call the kingdom of this world. What is the world around us like? The positives, the negatives. On the other side, write down some characteristics of the kingdom of God based on what you know of the King. Finally, think about what kind of a king is behind the kingdom of this world, based on the characteristics you've listed off. So start with the characteristics of the kingdom of this world, then write down the characteristics of the kingdom of God, figure out what it says about the king, and then figure out what the kingdom of this world has at its head. Who is the Lord of the kingdom of this world? It'll help you really clarify what it means to live under God's rule and reign, what God's kingdom is all about, and why it's worth devoting your entire life to his service. Have a great time doing that. I hope you'll share it with some friends as well. And maybe I'll see you at the next family room service. It'll be on December 14th in Ajax at Romeo Dallaire School. I hope you'll join us then, especially with any kids in your life, as we learn to follow Jesus together in one room, regardless of our age or background. So have a great one. I'll see you tomorrow.